Good afternoon. Welcome to Cross Currents. I'm Carolyn Heldman. On today's show, Aspen Young Professionals Association and Aspen NextGen are holding an election event tonight at the Limelight Hotel at 5 o'clock. Skippy Mesereau and Ashley Federson are my guests. AYPA and NextGen have gotten together and are having an event tonight at the Limelight Hotel. So before we begin on what's going to happen tonight, will you all tell me, Skippy and Ashley, what your organizations are and the history of your organizations, how they were formed?
Thanks for having me back, Carolyn. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Aspen Next Generation Advisory Commission is the newest commission of the city of Aspen, so like a planning and zoning commission or an HPC, but we focus on how policy decisions affect the 18 to 40 demographic who live or work in Aspen.
And Aspen Young Professionals Association is a group of young professionals that come together for networking, for philanthropy, and for business development. It's really great for people that are new to the Valley to network with other young professionals for jobs, for just meeting new people. And then we do have a philanthropic component. We have monthly events that our members can come to do all of those things.
Okay.
They also have the best Christmas party in Aspen.
Oh, where is it this year?
Well, it's still in the works, but we might be working with NextGen, so it's coming soon.
It'll be bigger and badder than ever.
We're going to make it boring and wonky. Sorry, guys.
Wonky. So tonight, the election forum, Limelight Hotel, what time do doors open?
5 p.m. It goes till 8. At 6 o'clock is going to be the moderated discussion where we're going to have speakers and Skippy and I will both be speaking. Sheriff Joe DeSalvo will be speaking, and then a number of other people that are on the ballot with issues and so forth.
It's a long ballot this year.
It is a long ballot. That yeah. blue book that showed up is a novel. So you can circumvent that by coming tonight and over a free beer and pizza, learn all the things that that book was going to teach you in perhaps a more fun, connective way, and actually meet the candidates and proponents and detractors for each of the ballot initiatives.
And you have folks from mostly both sides of every initiative or issue or amendment.
Both of our organizations and this event are 100% nonpartisan. We think it's incredibly critical, especially in a small town, that we show up and vote. You'll learn more about why that's important, but that's predicated on the notion that we can be wrong and that we work better when we have respectful disagreements and we ultimately come to better policies that way. So we want you to come in with an open mind and ready to listen rather than speak and come learn about all of these ballot initiatives and your candidates.
What's great as well is that we have a sample ballot that will explain each of the ballot issues and furthermore, the amendments and so forth in a layman's terms, because most people, when they read the ballot, it's like, I understand kind of what you're asking, but not really. And it can be a little confusing. So this will help, alleviate any sort of concerns when you're reading the ballot on election day.
Are you handing that out tonight, too?
Yes. Right when you get in the door, you'll have that sample ballot. So you can actually go around the room and mark on it yes or no, or circle the person that you think. So then you can put that in your pocket, take it to the polls, or just take it home and fill out your absentee ballot with some, informed decisions.
Will that also be available on your websites, your respective places?
That's a great idea, Carolyn.
Yeah, let's do that, too.
We sure could do that.
Ding, ding, ding.
Always in the plans.
Idea of the day.
Yeah.
All right, so let's run down. Your list tonight is extensive. You've got a lot of people coming, and there's a lot to get into. So we'll go through somewhat briefly the different issues and initiatives, amendments, et cetera, that you're going to be going through tonight and who will be speaking on behalf of those things. So first up, at least from my most recent agenda that I saw, is 1A. Is that right?
Yes, 1A is a local ballot initiative which focuses on funding for open space. We are going to have speakers on both sides of this issue. On the pro side is going to be Howie Malloroy, and on the con side is going to be Mike Maple. Mike will also be speaking on the con side for the Wheelerette, which is issue 2E.
Okay. From your perspective, AYPA and NextGen, is the open space initiative a big deal?
I would suggest that a big part of the character of our town and our valley is defined by open public and park spaces. So it certainly has a critical impact on our community. Which side you fall on for that, there are trade-offs for both. That's for you to come learn and decide.
Okay. Howie Mallory and Mike Maple will be speaking on that one. I did skip the Colorado amendments. We'll get to those in a second. Next up locally is 2B, which is a broadband initiative.
That's correct. And this is actually a countywide issue. We don't have anybody speaking on either side, but we do believe we'll have representatives of the county there. We're going to have small moderated group discussions on all of these initiatives. Okay. So you walk in the door, you check in, hopefully you register to vote or you register someone to vote, pop by our photo booth, grab a beer, and then we will have these areas all around the perimeter, each of which will have a non-biased, nonpartisan facilitator to help you work through these issues. And broadband, as the chair of NextGen, a group that very much supports small, local, and entrepreneurial businesses, it is really critical to the future of our valley. So how it's delivered does have an impact.
And is that for the state, or sorry, rather for the Pickens County to take control of?
It's more about extending the option than taking control.
Okay. Okay. And as you just said,
it doesn't mean it precludes that, but it's an additive initiative as opposed to a redactive one.
And it would mean more accessibility to more people.
It may.
Okay.
It opens more doors for the outcome of high-speed broadband to occur, but it doesn't set forth any that will guarantee it.
Okay. 2C, this one is a little confusing to me. It's about hiring managers, more managers at city level government.
That's right. I think there's been a big push within the community for citizens to have more direct control over their government. We've seen that in referendum one amongst
the moratorium.
The moratorium, which came from council. But there's been this trend. And so this continues in that guise. Historically, I mean, we are a home rule charter. There are sort of two ways that Colorado governments, local governments are organized. One is a strong mayor. The other is a strong city manager. We have the latter. And so historically, the city manager has been hired by our elected officials, but then they have made all of the hiring decisions underneath them.
Mm-hmm.
And this would expand council's overview to a few other positions, including the police chief, the director of community development, amongst others. I think there's one other. I'm not sure.
So rather than just having one direct report, i.e. the city manager to council and the mayor, it would be more direct reporting?
Not so much direct reporting, but say in hiring.
Okay. Okay. So taking back a little more control.
Yeah.
All right. Does AYPA and NextGen, How would that impact your constituency?
It's a great question. Effectively, what you're doing is moving the lever of power and decision-making from a singular place in the city manager's office to a more diverse place, which is city council as reflected from their voters. And so, you know, a community is very much organized by how, by where decisions get to be made. And so exactly what the long-term outcome will be, it's hard to say because we don't know who's going to be hired. We don't know who those elected officials will be at that time. We don't know what the political climate will be. So I guess, you know, the trade-off, right, is that we get more say, if indirectly, in this process, but you also introduce more uncertainty in the sense that if you're running a company and you have a CEO, I think the CEO would feel the company was being undermined by the fact that they don't have control to build their team. Someone else is doing that, and that could lead to a less unified force. But that's one side of the argument, and the other can be made as well.
Okay. This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Carolyn Heldman. I'm speaking with Skippy Mesereau of the Next Generation, Next Gen Commission of the City of Aspen, Ashley Feddersen of the Aspen Young Professionals Association. There is an event tonight at the Limelight Hotel. Doors open at 5. It's a sort of a free-for-all, or a fair, if you will, of the election
That's
issues.
That's right, we are fair. Thank you for that.
A fair of all the election issues, of which there are many, with representatives from all sides, and a way to kind of get your head around all this stuff that's on the ballot this year before you go and cast your ballot. Moving on now to 2D, the re-up, I think it is, of taxes for the school. And there is, interestingly, not really an opposition to this one. We have a strong community that's pro-education here. So it's not surprising, as I said. It's maybe just a rubber stamp issue this year. Is that fair?
I mean, I think this community has a long history of supporting the things it cares about through taxes and otherwise. So I'm not doing polling on it. I'm not here to say what's going to happen. What I can say is we invited everyone from pro and con of all issues. And we do have Susan Merolt and Dwayne Romero coming to speak in favor of this.
Is there an organized opposition? Sorry to interrupt.
Not to my knowledge, and not that we've found, but it certainly doesn't mean that there are not people that will vote against it. And I want to be respectful of their opinions too.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. And then 2E, which is fairly controversial this year, I think, and that's the continuation of the RET for the Wheeler Opera House operational tax.
Correct.
Explain what that one is.
Okay. So the real estate transfer tax is a tax that is put on real estate that is transferred. So if you buy if you buy a piece of real estate, some percentage of that is taken, and historically a percentage of that has gone into the Wheeler Fund. Now, where this has become controversial, and I hope I'm characterizing this right, everybody out there, is that the Wheeler has significant dollars in the bank. And so some people, not all, have said, okay, you've got enough of a stockpile. It sort of seems unnecessary at this point.
To keep funding it.
To keep funding it. Now, the other side would say one of two things. They would either say, the arts are really important. We want to make sure we continue this. There's no guarantee that, you know, homes keep selling at a $17 million clip, and so we should continue to fund this because who knows what happens in the future. Others would say, maybe you're right. Maybe this money, it's time to repurpose it, but the real estate transfer tax is a mechanism that was put into law years back and is no longer able to. And so much like a water right, if we relinquish it, we can't get it back. So what we should do is vote to continue the RET and then work to repurpose it.
Okay.
I'm saying is right.
Well, me too.
Sorry, guys. Trying my best here.
Does it have a sunset on it? Is it a?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And who's speaking?
The fact that it's back on the ballot suggests that it is time limited. But sunset is a specific term and mechanism, so I don't want to overstep my bounds.
Okay. All right. And is this proponent Howie Mallory again and opponent Mike Maple? I know Mike Maple is speaking against it because you showed his hand earlier now, but I didn't know who the proponent was this evening.
Yep. So I'm definitely not checking my spreadsheet. This is all off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I think it is Chip Fuller.
Okay.
I will caution that he was our initial contact, and I have had 3 last-minute RSVPs today from different Chips. So yep. If I'm getting it wrong, I apologize. Chips are very last minute, but we're glad you're coming.
All right. Nevertheless, there will be 2 people on both sides.
Chips always at the end of the night. You know?
And then are all these, because we're going to move to the state initiatives.
Okay.
In a second. Are all of these, you have timing and it's a moderated forum. So the pro will speak for 2 or 3 minutes or whatever it might be. And then the con or the anti person will have the same amount of time.
Right. So we're going to start with just an introduction and a couple people talking about why it's really important thank you for coming out. We're proud of you. And here's why it's important, these different issues. And then letting each side talk for a couple minutes or less and just say a little something. And then the point is to say, you know, here's my face. Our table's over here. Come learn more.
Okay. All right. Moving on to the Colorado ballot amendments, which are pretty important this year. There's some big ones on there.
There are.
First one, I did a show a couple weeks ago on Amendment 106, which is known as the Colorado End of Life Options Act. And you are having difficulty finding someone to speak against. Are you having someone speak for tonight?
We are having somebody speak for tonight. His name is Rob Kosick. I believe I'm pronouncing that correct. Never met Rob, but looking forward to it. And he is from Yes on Colorado End of Life Options. It's an aptly named group.
Yeah.
It's very straightforward.
Well, my experience in when I was putting the show together and doing the research for the cross currents that I did on that ballot initiative, or that amendment rather, it was really hard to find someone to speak out against. Very, very difficult. So I feel your pain. It's a difficult subject, and it's hard to find people who are willing to stand up and say that they're not for it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, and you know, I think it's just a great opportunity to get in the. We invited everybody, anybody whose district overlapped with Aspen. So that's our local officials and issues, our county, state rep, and state senators whose district overlap Aspen, Congress, Senate. We invited the presidential campaigns. We didn't think they were coming, but we invited everyone. And I say that because too often at these events, we are defined by the people who show up.
Right.
That everyone assumes that you've gone and become partisan and you hate their side when they don't see their representative. I promise you, we've reached out 4-5 times to everyone. We want this to be inclusive. We want this to be about listening and not speaking. We really want you to come and figure out what is best for you. All that we ask is you vote. So please, when you come in the door and you don't see your person, just know we tried, we care, and whatever you think, that's okay, but come.
Could that also be an open invitation to for someone to speak on behalf of something that they, for example, if someone who's listening right now who feels very strongly against 106, if they wanted to come and have a moment to address the group or set up a ad hoc, you know, anti-106 station, couldn't they do that?
I am very much open to anybody coming in, expressing their views, and trying to get to a point where we have equal representation. However, it's going to be very difficult to commit to that now because if 75 people show up at the door on various issues, we have no mechanism to choose who that's going to be.
Right.
And we have limited time to set up, run, and facilitate the event. So I want to offer a limited yes. If one person shows up and wants to speak, absolutely. But just know that if you show up and it would be detracting to the rest of the event to try to organize it, there are limitations to what we can do with our time.
Plus, we looked into, you know, the groups that would be on either side. And so if we couldn't find them, you know, that is, you know, too bad. And if there is a group out there that we couldn't find that is on one or other side of any of the issues, absolutely, you know, reaching out to us is totally fine, and we would try to work them in.
Many hours were spent on correspondence and email and searching. I do promise you.
You guys look a little tired, I have to say.
Thank you for that. The dog gets to sleep, and here we are, chatting and chatting.
Yeah, he gets a couch.
An adorable dog to my right to keep me going.
Yep.
The famous Mac.
So cute.
Amendment 69. We've got two more Colorado amendments, and then we'll get to the local commissioner race. Colorado Cares, which is the – explain for the listener what
– Sure. I think that this will probably be the biggest interest to most people as far as the state ballot initiatives. And in a massive oversimplification, it's effectively instituting a single-payer healthcare system for the state of Colorado. Get into the details, but effectively that is the case.
And people speaking on both sides of that issue, who?
Yes, we do. From Colorado Cares, we have Joel. And on the con side, Coloradans for Coloradans, we have Patricia. So they will both be coming and speaking on their behalves.
Okay. How's this one impact your groups, AYPA and NextGen?
So this is really important for young professionals, as a lot of people are just getting out into the workforce. This is a new thing. They might not understand how to best pick different healthcare options and maybe are paying more than they should. So I think this is a really important one for young professionals to learn about.
It's going to be a big one tonight.
It is.
Amendment 70, which is minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Who is speaking on behalf of that one?
We do not have anybody who has RSVP'd from either side on that one. We've been in correspondence with both sides. They had both tried to send one and weren't able to. But we will give a basic rundown to the group. And as with all of these initiatives, not all of them will have speakers up on the stage, mm-hmm. but they will all have facilitated small group discussions that you will be able to go around, learn about, interact with your peers and other community members, and fill out your ballot. So when you take it home and you're looking at it in a month and going, what is this thing? You can look at that as a reference.
Okay. This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm speaking with Ashley Federson of the Aspen Young Professionals Association, also Skippy Mesereau of Aspen's Next Gen Commission to the City of Aspen. Tonight, an election fair forum at Limelight starts at 5 and goes till 8 with representatives from all of these amendments and issues and ballot initiatives that we've been talking about, maybe even a couple more.
And candidates.
So moving back locally to the county commissioner's race, Scott Ryder, Greg Poschman in attendance tonight.
Correct. The centerpiece of the night will be a moderated debate between our two commissioner candidates. We are doing a three-question format. Those questions have been crowdsourced from our community.
Oh, great.
And they
can you
have,
tell us what they are?
Can you let me pull it up from my email?
Yes.
I can give you the basics. But there are there are going to be three questions. They are crowdsourced from our audience. And they have been given to the candidates with several days to prepare.
Oh, good.
And what we have asked of them is to very specifically diagnose the problem, to then give us specifics on what their policy prescription is. And then critically, we want them to cogently explain to us how they actually plan to accomplish it. What is their plan as far as messaging and political work? We want to really get and dig out their understanding of the system and their ability to affect it. So the first question is around affordable housing. Certainly the biggest issue for younger people and really everyone in this valley. Do you want the actual question?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. So access to housing that is affordable is still the most difficult part of creating a permanent and productive life in Aspen. The perception is that this task is getting more difficult than any point in the past. Can you first diagnose the problem for us? What forces are creating this increased difficulty? Secondly, tell us specifically from a policy perspective what you would do to remedy it and how politically you plan to get said plan adopted. The second question is, please assess for us, in your view, the current overall health of our political and civic entities in the Roaring Fork Valley, how leadership is being exercised, how public discourse is vocalized, and how various entities or communities are working together. Then draw for us a picture of how you intend to comport yourself against that backdrop as a leader, and how you may or may not aim to alter the health of that larger system through your actions as an example.
Mm.
And so that really gets to this notion of civil discourse, which is the third pillar of what we're working on. And the third, each of you has been in this valley for a long time, many decades combined. Please identify for us whom you believe to have been our most successful political leader and describe for us in both chronology and quality what time or era you believe to have been best for our valley. Please explain what qualities these times and people had in which you so valued, and then provide us with a roadmap from both a policy and process perspective as to how you may move us back in that direction.
These are excellent questions.
Thank you. We can thank our membership for that.
Those are great questions. How much time do they have?
We actually are not setting a limit. We didn't believe in doing 4 minutes, 4 minutes. We want this to be sort of a discussive thing as well. So I'll actually be moderating. I'm really looking at this as facilitating. And so each of them will get to make their sort of initial statement on these. But I'm really there to push back, to keep them on focus and make sure that the audience is getting the detail that they should as voters.
Will there be audience Q&A as well?
We're not going to do Q&A. The questions have been crowdsourced, so we sort of feel like that's already been accomplished.
Mm-hmm. How did you reach out to your folks, I guess, social media, and how many people roughly helped craft these questions?
Sure. We have a network of about 700 people. AYPAs is significantly larger than that.
Yeah, around 2,000.
So somewhere in that vicinity, collective lists. And I would also mention that while we will not have on-stage Q&A, there will be, for the first hour of the event, while people can go around and do ballot initiatives, there will be a candidates' corner. So a loungy area where all the candidates and the Democratic and Republican Party representing their candidates will be. And anybody at that time can go over in an open format and ask those candidates anything that they want.
Do you have any data on your membership's voting status, whether what percentage is registered?
I could not tell you what percentage of our membership is registered right now. What I can tell you is in our last election a year ago, over 1,500 under 40s who could have voted did not. In a town of 6,600 people where the mayor is often elected by less than 100 votes. And for those who can't see through radio, Carolyn has just stabbed herself in the chest. And that is exactly what you are doing if you stay home. Because democracy is a reflective institution. It only represents and is beholden to the people that show up by its very mechanics.
And dare I say, in this election and in these amendments and these issues, you can and you will make a difference. Your
vote
absolutely makes a difference.
Absolutely.
We could argue for a long time about the bigger picture with our Electoral College and whether or not your vote matters. On a larger scale, I would always say it does, but on these, it absolutely does.
That's right. And while you may get excited because of the media frenzy about the presidential campaign, and good on you if you are paying attention, but the truth is, even in a state like Colorado, the chance that your singular vote sways that election is one in many tens of millions. And if you are a citizen who lives in the 39 non-swing states, it is over one in a billion. But here in this town, in the last election, Ashley was part of a ballot initiative that won by
83 votes.
83 votes.
Wow.
1,500 did not show up. So, and I want to be clear, we're speaking to young people right now because when there's a problem, you frankly address the low-hanging fruit first. There's more to be achieved there. But there's also 30% of the over 65 who doesn't show up. And as forcefully will I fight and work to make sure you vote, because every vote matters, not just young people's.
Congratulations, you guys. This is really ambitious, and I'm very happy that you're doing it for this community.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Skippy Mesereau, Aspen Next Gen, City of Aspen Commission. Ashley Federson of the Aspen Young Professionals Association, tonight, Limelight, 5 o'clock. Free beer if you register.
So free beer if you show up.
A free beer and free food for anyone who walks in the door. But if you bring somebody who is not registered and they register, bring 10 people and register them. We'll also have a raffle. There'll be other opportunities. We're going to have a photo booth. So it's going to be a fun event, a lot more fun than sitting at home with that big blue book. So come join us, make some friends, get involved, and do your civic responsibility.
Yeah.
Because it's not just for you. It's for me, it's for Ashley, and it's for your neighbor. And if you don't show up, you can't complain.
And for the next gen.
All the time.
And the next gen. And the next gen.
Exactly.
That's right.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you for having us.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. If you missed the show or would like to hear it again, go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Have a great afternoon.